Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I am a huge fan of applications. I have many applications. I have a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego application.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Defining game of my childhood.
I know. You can talk to anyone who's
I didn't know you played Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
I had the Word edition and a Math edition, and that was me trying to convince my parents that, hey, if you buy me the Math edition, my marks will exponentially get better.
My whole thing about Carmen Sandiego is they have not brought it out in a different, like, for a different platform. So it's still only available in its original form. Like, that, if they redid it.
What, like in.
And redid the graphics and stuff, yeah. Just a tiny bit, they would make so much money off people that are in our sort of, you know, that
age group,
which obviously spans from my age down to your age.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love it.
So what I'm really, because I'm not into the whole applications thing at all, because I don't have a sophisticated enough iPod and I don't have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I recently got internet connection on my mobile.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 minutes, I thought, this is rubbish. Can't see nothing on this screen. Everything is squished up. How the hell am I supposed to type? This is ridiculous. Quit this. I'll browse when I'm at home on my laptop.
Yeah.
So I'm not one to use the internet on my phone. I'm not really fancy
the
with
internet.
All that.
Using the internet on your phone at the moment is an interesting thing because a lot of websites, and this is me being a web nerd, are yet to be enabled for mobile devices. So it's like they're still. As they start to make more mobile versions of, you know, all the websites are in mobile versions, hopefully it'll be a bit of a different experience. Anyway, continue with your application story.
So with apps, I mean, we were talking about it, just saying, like you were saying how you have lots of apps.
Yeah.
Did you know as of 4th of November this year,
mm-hmm.
the Apple Store has officially 100,000 different kinds of apps. And since from July 2008, think about this, Jade, from July 2008 right up to 4th of November this year. So that's a year and 4 months, right?
Yep.
The Apple Store has sold 2 billion applications. 2 billion downloads just for apps.
I'm not surprised because there's a large amount of free ones. I've only bought maybe 2 applications. All of my other ones are free.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know. It is a bit crazy, though.
Yeah, well, I think it's very much to do with the whole everyone having an iPhone. It's just part of the culture to have an app as well to go with it.
Yeah.
But what I'm concerned with is celebrities putting out their own applications as well.
Yes.
It's got me thinking this celebrity culture thing has gone too far. You know, I mean,
what are the celebrity apps? I've not heard of celebrity.
Well,
apps.
Obviously, it doesn't appeal to someone like you because you're obviously a little more intelligent than the people that would.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
You know, that would be very likely to buy these nasty, cheap, disgusting, pointless, waste of money celebrity apps.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I didn't even know such a crazy thing existed until I heard that Britney Spears was putting out her own celebrity app.
Okay.
So it got me kind of thinking, I'm like, what does Britney have to put on her app? So a couple of weeks ago, she put out her app, which is called It's Britney.
Okay.
It's costing people $2 something to get this on their iPhone/iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And it promises you up-to-date Britney news. Because really, the rest of the world ain't going to report it first. And every now and then, get this, Jade, yes. Every now and then you might get an exclusive special message from Britney herself. Just you, Jade, no one else.
Just you?
No. Obviously, it's a generic mass text that goes out to her billions of app people. But
and that's it?
Well, no, wait, there's more.
Okay.
There's one more feature.
Okay.
Absolutely shining feature, right? Be Britney's dancer is the name of this feature.
Oh, come on. We did that already.
What do you mean?
We did a Britney dance.
No. Be Britney's dancer.
Oh, okay.
You don't do the dance. You superimpose your face on her backup dancer.
Huh.
Which really sucks because I want her weave. If you said that I could superimpose my face on Britney's body, hell yeah, I'd buy that app. But I don't want some backup dancer's body.
Oh, come on. I can Photoshop that for you easy.
Yeah, but that's the main selling point of this app.
Yeah.
Be Britney's backup dancer. Boring.
And we're paying $2 for it.
That's a crazy thing. So that's an example of a particular celebrity app, okay?
Do we know anything about the quality of the news?
Oh, I don't know. I'm only assuming it's Britney-approved news.
Britney-approved news. Well, okay, obviously, well, there you go.
Well, she's not going to put out pictures of her stepping out of the limo with her cooch hanging out to the world. That's not Britney-approved. That's her manager will flip out. So you'd only get Britney-approved news coming on this app.
Okay.
But, I mean, I know you're laughing at the Britney app, but
Does Britney have her own journalist now? Is that how she's releasing news? I mean, what's going on?
I know you're laughing at this app, but really, compared to the other pop stars' apps, this is actually pretty creative.
Oh, gosh. What are the other ones?
I mean, most of them would just have a very basic function of syncing it with their Twitter accounts.
Okay.
So you can be completely up to date with whatever they're doing, their every move. Shaquille O'Neal does that. There's a Shaquille O'Neal app.
I'm sure, you know, that'd be good for the sports nuts.
Yeah, but Shaquille O'Neal's probably going to say, oh, I had a milkshake this morning.
Do you reckon he's twittering during the game? He's like, oh, yeah, just score 3 points.
Yeah, but we can all see that, though. So there's the syncing with the Twitter part, and then there's the latest news, blogs, and tour updates. So really basic information you can probably get on the website.
Yes.
You're, you know, getting straight to you via this app.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like the Pussycat Dolls, oh, my God. Now, this is state-of-the-art celebrity app right here.
Okay.
The Pussycat Dolls app, right, is called a party pack. There are 5 games on it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They ain't new games that you're unfamiliar with, Jade. They're not going to put you through that. They're going to rip off 5 games that you already know and put PCD icons on it.
Really?
Hell yeah. Concentration, Simon Says, and what was the other one? Bejeweled. These very popular games that everyone knows how to play, now there is a PCD version. What's the point?
I assume that people who are great lovers of Pussycat Dolls don't need to ask those kinds of questions.
Oh, no, they would just go, well, hell yeah. I mean, I would play Bejeweled to the tune of Hush, 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 Hush. You know, like, hell yeah, that's a whole different experience for me. I'd, you know, happily pay $3.50 for that or however much. In any case, there are other celebrity apps as well that's not, you know, the kind of pop star apps that I'm talking about here. P. Diddy has his own app. Now, this one I'm very interested in.
Okay.
It's called Diddy's Black Book.
Mm-hmm.
It's free.
Yes.
So everyone's like, hold up, might just jump on board because he's not charging money. So P. Diddy's little black book is actually his own listing of his favorite restaurants, shops, bars, and clubs.
Okay.
So these are like restaurants and, you know, organizations that he is so-called endorsing, loosely endorsing.
There's slightly a bit more effort involved in that, and yet he's not charging.
Why would he charge, Jade, when all these people have paid money to be featured on his app?
Interesting.
I honestly don't think P. Diddy sits around on a Saturday night with his vodka, right there, you know, the vodka that he's endorsing in his music videos.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think he's sitting there on a Saturday night drawing up a list of his favorite venues and bars. it will be something that his manager is hawking out to every place in LA.
One of his people is definitely doing
it. Yeah, one of his people will be hawking out.
All these celebrities have probably got their own app person.
Yeah, they've got their own media team. Maybe one day you can work for them.
Yeah, my job is I'm Britney's app person.
Yeah, I'm Britney's app person. I take pictures of Britney when she's on tour and cut out the backup dancer's face and put it on the app. So, you know, teeny boppers around the world can put their face on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job.
And I produce Britney-approved news. That's it.
So it's the same thing with Diddy, I guess. I mean, why would he charge for that when they've paid so much money already?
Mm.
It's free advertising. Hello? Like, look at this spa that P. Diddy approves. Bang, right in your phone. That's advertising for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, who the hell would want this little black book?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about the whole celebrity culture and everything that's happening around us right now, hey, who wouldn't want to seem like they're living the lifestyle of the rich and famous?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what everyone wants.
I know. You see, I might download that app and just go, I'm nowhere near Miami.
Yeah, I don't
what
see
what have you got in Melbourne?
I don't see how that it would be useful for us here, given where we live, so far away from him. I don't know that we're...
Well, Jade, he's a very well-travelled man.
I'm sure he is.
And I'm sure his app person is very well-travelled as well. So his app person might be sourcing advertising deals from around the world.
Okay. So when Diddy's in Melbourne, he does this.
Or if you're a subscriber from Melbourne, these are the Diddy-approved places. He's probably never been to
Melbourne.
They need
a little sticker that they can put on the window that says Diddy-approved.
It's like, what, Neighbourhood Watch?
Yeah, exactly.
Right next to your Neighbourhood Watch, Diddy's Black Book approved stamp. And there's a picture of him in his aviators.
Yeah.
The last celebrity app. Now, this one is vaguely useful, so I don't want to diss, okay? Yeah. Jamie Oliver, celebrity chef, of course he's going to have his own
app. Oh, he does?
App. Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver is a huge enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess with Jamie Oliver. He's got magazines. He's got TV shows. He's probably got tea towels.
Oh, he's got everything that you can possibly imagine.
Probably one day he's going to open his own organic veggie farm and charge like $10 for a celery stick and people will still buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's probably hand-grown by him.
Yeah. Oh, so, Jamie might have touched this.
Yeah. He might have hand-picked this carrot from the ground. But in any case, in the meantime, we've got the Jamie Oliver 20-minute meals app.
Yeah.
See, this is vaguely useful, Jade. He's got 50 recipes on there that are supposed to take 20 minutes to make.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes preparation time and serving time, right?
Yeah, so for me, it'd be more like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. You know, by the time I figure out how to, you know, make a French omelette, which is probably just step one of his elaborate recipe. And by the time I Wikipedia what, you know, what, I don't know.
Blanche what, means.
Blanche. You know, but the best part is it's not just written instructions with his apps. You get an audio and video clip that comes with it as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the accent. You get the whole experience.
Okay. It's like you're cooking with Jamie.
I know. What a great experience. Mm. Except he's not going to point out, Dave, that's not how you whisk an egg.
Yeah.
He's just going to move on to the end of it. Or worse, he'll make me pay more for personalized advice. you know, Jade, it's got me thinking.
Yep.
We really should have our own Different Strokes app.
Would there be Different Strokes approved news? Is that...
Well, you don't want people writing all these scandalous stories about us. You know what the media is like. The tabloids are very harsh on what you and I do on our... You know,
yeah, I've seen some of the pictures. They're just devastating.
I know, of us leaving Joy and, you know, me and my aviators in the middle of the night because I'm that kind of diva. But, we should start thinking of what we want on our app, I reckon.
It'd be a very confused app, I think.
No, it'll be a great app. It'll be better than Britney's. I promise everyone in the world, our app is going to be better than Britney's.
And it'll be free.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't want to charge money for it.
Okay. Well, I do. How are we going to make money? We're not going to do like a Diddy.
Yeah, we'll do a Diddy. Don't worry.
Do a Diddy, what? List Different Strokes approved places.
Yeah.
Oh. Like what?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll come up with something.
Joy.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
You know, first of all, I am very old school. Like, I have to have...
I love magazines.
Yeah, I have to have the magazine.
Who said print is dead? Here's a Different Strokes perspective on magazines and publishing.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Okay, so I'm going to adventure into David Lim's world just for a minute. And I know how much you, like, live and love. Like, I've seen the record.
Yeah, well, the first time, you see, I've told this story like a billion times.
Yeah, we love to tell it.
Yeah, the first time Jade took me to an AFL game, I was really mesmerized, is probably the word.
Yeah.
I was really mesmerized and fixated with The Record, mm-hmm. which is a magazine that's apparently very common when you go to the footy.
Yeah, everyone just chucks them on the ground at the end of the game.
What is it, like $4, $2 to purchase?
It's like $3.50.
$3.50 or something like that. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, look at this. Well, this is niche marketing right here. Look at all this. And I was like putting my magazine editor thinking cap on and just consuming the magazine in a whole different way.
Yeah.
People just head to, you know, that page where it's got all the players listed.
Yes, they can mark down if they kick the goal or a point.
And there I am examining the design, where the page numbers are, what kind of font are they using, all that really gay stuff. Who's advertising with them?
I'm actually a very keen reader of magazines, despite the fact I don't often talk about it. I have many subscriptions to many magazines. Most of them are of the gay genre or the music genre, and I also love a good sci-fi magazine. But anyway, so today I'm going to talk about The Advocate.
The Advocate, yes.
So The Advocate is it's an American publication. It's an LGBT monthly news magazine. So it's kind of current affairs-y. It'll have, you know, interviews with celebrities every so often, or out people in the community, and it has sort of more, it does a lot of political type stuff as well. It started out incredibly political, so it was established in 1967.
Wow.
So it was the oldest continuing LGBT publication in the United States. It's got a website now that, and I follow it on Twitter, follow the Twitter feed as well. Mm-hmm. So it publishes a lot of content through the Twitter feed as well. So you can get a lot of stuff straight off the web.
Yep. But do you find that the web content, like I know a lot of magazines do this just so they've got a foot in both doors, so to speak. They have something for print that comes out once a month, but just to keep their followers happy or just to keep up with the online world, they have a, you know, different content for their blog or for their website as well. Is it different or is it the same stuff?
They have, they've put here that they put 30% of their print issue online, and then they obviously update their online stuff daily. So there's often, you know, as it happens type stuff happening on their website. Whereas, you know, with a monthly magazine, sometimes before it comes out, you know, something else has changed.
Yeah, and it's not timely anymore.
But The Advocate was first published, it was a local newsletter that came out of an activist group. So it was called the Personal Rights in Defense and Education, and it came out of California. And from there, it went on to, by 1969, it was renamed The Advocate and had been distributed nationally. And in 1974... they were printing 40,000 copies for each issue. But as I actually didn't know this, Dave, because I just did a quick background search about the actual magazine before I decided to talk about it today. And I'm a subscriber to The Advocate, but apparently just last week they made an announcement on the website that they're not going to, they're going to discontinue the subscription to The Advocate. Instead, they're sort of suggesting that everyone go to their sister or brother publication, Out Magazine.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of just said, oh, you know, if you like The Advocate, then you'll like Out, which I find quite interesting because I've read Out before too, but I find it's them to be glossy. Very different.
I think Out is a lot more glossier and it's more pop culture focused, whereas I think The Advocate is more issues based, perhaps, more newsy. And on Twitter, we had @Bowie say, you know, is an Advocate the one that doesn't put women on the cover as much?
Yeah.
Is it true? Advocate is the one that don't put women on as much?
Oh, well, I mean, @Bowie said that he didn't know of any, that they'd never had women on the cover. And I said that I could think of three off the top of my head, but I'm not too sure. I don't know the full repertoire of covers. I'm not really into covers.
Oh, how can you not be into covers? That's the face of the magazine. No. That's what sells the publication.
I kind of go, all right, well, what's the story?
Well, is that because you're a subscriber, so you know that you're there for the content. You're going to love whatever they're going to write anyway. So the cover doesn't matter to you as much because you're not necessarily taking it as face value because you already subscribe to it.
Yeah, I think what's really having also being also a person who works in media, I find it very interesting the way that you analyze something, the way I analyze it. So I'm very content focused. And I just, like, I'll flick to something and if it catches my attention, I'll have a look at it.
Mm.
But I don't analyze, this is the page layout and this is the way this, there are a lot of ads.
I think that's what, I mean, that's how you sell your magazine. Yeah. So that's how they make money, from the ads and from subscription, but primarily from ads. So you gotta sell ads. I think most magazines, 60-40? 60% ads, 40% content. That's very generous. Most of your glossy magazines, if you look at the really big fashion magazines, 30% content, 70% will be ads.
Yeah.
You know? But looking at The Advocate, lift it up a little so I can see it. It's not, it's kind of glossy, but it's very thin. It's
kind of glossy, but this is actually the edition that I brought in is their double issue. So it's year in review issue.
For those of you who haven't seen what The Advocate looks like, it's kind of like OK Magazine. It's got the same kind of paper stock.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have a spine. It's just stapled at the
back. I can't believe we're talking about paper stock on this show.
Oh, God. Listen to me. That's what happens when you let me on.
Let's talk about CMYK versus RGB.
Yeah. Boring.
I really enjoy the magazine.
What's your favourite segment or column?
I have an interest. My major interest is obviously being in a relationship with an American.
Mm.
I have an interest in what's happening in the US political scene to do with gay lesbian rights and all of that. So I find it to be a good way for me to kind of keep on top of what's happening.
Can I just ask, do you think there is a market for that here in Australia? A magazine like Advocate?
It's an interesting question. I mean, the fact that this is the oldest continuing publication in the US, a much, much larger market, and is now being taken off the market. There's no more subscription. I don't know. Is there? I don't think there is.
I'd like to think there is, but I think with all the free press that you get, you know, your MCVs, your various publications like that, they're pretty good with the journalism content as well.
Yeah.
They report, you know, queer news for Australians here that are relevant to us as well as, you know, news from all over the world, that they do it well.
I think it would be a struggle. I think it would be a struggle given that there's so many free publications.
Yeah, you'd be competing with the free publications.
And those publications have a longer standing history. I think it'd have to be just a completely awesome, like something you'd never expected.
Like probably more niche than something more, you know, general, like, hey, this is queer news. Maybe create a niche publication, because I've always felt that way with magazines anyway, and where magazines are heading these days.
Yep.
The more general your content is, the more people are going to go, hey, I can get that online.
Yeah.
Why do I need this magazine? So I think niche publications are the way to go.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I am not a big fan of Shakira, so I look forward...
Is it the bleating?
You
don't like her, the way
it's
she sings?
It's the kind of... you know that. Is that the bleating?
Yeah, well, to me, Shakira always sounds like she's bleating.
Yeah.
Like a lamb when she's singing.
Yeah.
Sometimes she sounds really good, and I like her style of bleating singing anyway. But the thing I really love about Shakira, singing in English, because I don't understand Spanish, is the fact that she's writing English lyrics from a lote perspective, language other than English.
Yep.
She's writing English from a perspective where she's still mastering the language, and her gift of expression in that sense is really, really peculiar. And I love that. And for lyrics, to read Shakira's lyrics, you just go, that's so beautifully put. Look at that expression. That's hilarious. It's very candid. There's a line in her new single, She Wolf, and I think it goes something like, you know, I've been pleasing you from what, Monday to Friday and Friday to Monday, or something like that. And she says she feels more abused. She feels abused like a coffee machine in an office.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those kind of expressions. And you find that with every Shakira album as it is. So if you're a fan of her lyrics, mm-hmm. In that sense, then you're going to love this album anyway.
I love lyrics. Like, I'm a big fan of lyrics. I talk about that all the time. Mm. But I just find, like, to me, I would never be able to appreciate that particular, like, I think that's a great line. Mm. But I would never be able to appreciate that with her style of music, because I can't deal with it.
Yeah. In any case, She-Wolf is the album we're reviewing tonight. It is Shakira's third English album since her 2005 record, Oral Fixation, Volume 2. Now, a lot of people have compared She-Wolf, like they're saying She-Wolf, this album, is to Shakira what Loose was for Nelly Furtado. So that's a bit of a pop music reference there, Jade. I see you're frowning.
So Loose was the one when I stopped liking Nelly Furtado, right?
Is that the up-tempo one when she did Promiscuous?
Yes, yeah.
And Man Eater. Yeah. So people are saying that She-Wolf is to Shakira what Loose was for Nelly Furtado,
mm-hmm.
the more up-tempo album after the slower, more introspective second album.
Mm-hmm.
The third album's like, bang, you know, I want to start making pop music again. I'm ready for commercial success.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are saying, look, Shakira's getting her mojo back with this album. So, I mean, because I know what you're like, Jade, when it comes to new music, you like to be surprised.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you don't like reading about the news or the recording process or who the artist is working with. Whereas for me, I keep track of it every step of the way. So I've been listening to all these news updates, you know, Shakira saying, oh, I'm working with this producer. For the next album, I want a more dance, more up-tempo feel.
And then you go Google the producer.
Oh, I probably already know the producers. Oh, okay. Yeah. Not know, like, because I'm like that.
Yes,
yeah, so but
you're tweeting back and forth.
I'm not that sad. So she said she wanted to create an up-tempo dance record. And I straight away thought, hell no. Mm-hmm. Please, none of this DJ Sammy crap. Please don't work with Moto Blanco or whatever generic house music crap. Please, that's not dance music. Please. Thankfully, Shakira being Shakira, it's actually quite an eclectic album of up-tempos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got, you know, a bit of world beat influence in there, Middle Eastern influences. So parts of it could sound very much like what you hear on Global Sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some reggae and jazz tones as well. So I really like that. It's a good mix. She works with acclaimed hit makers like Pharrell Williams, who has produced for everyone from Gwen Stefani to Madonna's last album. And she also teamed up with Wyclef Jean again, because both of them had a hit maybe it was last year or a year before, Hips Don't Lie. You might have known that.
Ah, yeah, I think
that was a really big one, yeah. So the first single off the She-Wolf album is She-Wolf, and that one came out in July. See, when I first heard that, I thought, oh, I don't know about this. This sounds a little weird.
Mm.
The production it's kind of like robo-disco. You know, it sounds like disco because it's got that crazy bass line, but it's very frenetic and it's very staccato. The beats, it's got a very driving beat to it, and it's different from what people expect from Shakira. It's not necessarily hip-swishing stuff.
Yep.
But then she had a great video where it looked like she was climbing out of a glittery vagina cave. And that just made everything so much better.
There's always a lot of climbing and stuff in pop. Like, there's all of these kind of, like, circular, like, I'm in some sort of womb situation. It happens a lot in pop.
Which video have you seen emulating a womb, Jade?
I don't know. I just feel like, no, there's just, like, a lot of circular, like, I'm in some, trapped in some bubble somehow. It's just weird.
Next time you see a video like that, send me the link on YouTube.
All right, I will.
I'm sure it's very rare.
I watched a lot of MTV last night. It was ridiculous.
And a lot of people climbing out of vulvas.
Yes. Maybe I was imagining it.
Maybe. In any case, She-Wolf the single did pretty averagely here in Australia. It went number 11 in the US, number 4 in the UK. The second single, you see, she's done this weird thing where she's going to have an American single and an international single.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she's fearing that one song isn't good enough for either.
Okay.
Or both, I should say. So Did It Again is the second international single. That one's not doing too bad, mm-hmm. but it's not great either. The second American single was produced by Timbaland, and it's called Give It Up To Me. Now, the weird thing about this is that it wasn't on the original album.
Huh.
Heck, the album wasn't even out yet. And, you know, it's been released in parts of the world. The track listings come out. And then next thing you know, she's like, this is going to be my next single. People go, this is not on the album. So it's almost, for me, what that says is that she either really loves that song or she feels that nothing on the album is good enough to be a second single.
Hmm.
Which says you're not confident about your body of work, which concerns me because I love this album.
So is saying that it's like Nelly Furtado's Loose or whatever, does that mean that it's a crap album?
It's not crap. I think both albums are great. Loose was a great up-tempo album.
Okay.
It's just in a way that it's, when you're tracing the discography of both artists, mm-hmm. their second albums were kind of more serious, didn't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the third album, like Loose and She-Wolf, was their step back up to pop or R&B or more up-tempo stuff.
Okay.
So I think that was just the point of comparison. In any case, the album She-Wolf was actually meant to come out in October. See, I was looking forward to that.
Yep.
And then it got pushed back to November 23rd, mm-hmm. which kind of made me think, no, that's kind of dumb because Rihanna, Lady Gaga, and Britney all have albums out that week. You don't stand a chance.
I love that you knew, like, that you know.
It's on my calendar.
There's, everything, like, all these clashes going on.
I think Ricky Lee was meant to have a song out that day. She yeah. pulled out. Ricky Lee, you can't compete with Rihanna, can you? Oh, poor girl. So the US version of She-Wolf, the album, actually comes with three Spanish tracks, which I love, actually, because I like hearing Shakira sing in her native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Something very beautiful about that. The Australian edition, which came out on the 6th of November, only has one Spanish track. So far, the album hasn't charted in our top 50 here, so mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going. I only bought my copy last week because I couldn't find it anywhere in stores. They literally stashed it all the way at the back. New releases should be sitting there, but it wasn't.
Is it? What sort of section does it sit in? Does
under
it...
S, pop.
Really?
S for Shakira.
Okay.
In there somewhere. The album's number 4 in the UK and number 2 in Spain. So, you know, Australia, we're yet to catch up to it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. Mm-hmm. We'll do an album in a blend, of course.
Okay.
We'll let you guys have a listen to 4 tracks off She-Wolf.
Different Strokes album in the blend. Shakira, She-Wolf.
Like a prodigal son, we pull big time at the end.
interesting selection, Dave.
Well, I tried to mix between the rhythmic tracks on the album and the more rockier edged ones, which there are one or two.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's She-Wolf, Album in a Blend on Different Strokes tonight.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.